Hello and welcome to this week's Home is Where the Hearth Is podcast. And the last 2 weeks, in fact this is the third week, in which we've been looking at a literary mystery. The mystery surrounding the play Sir Thomas More. And this particular week we are going to be celebrating the feast day of St. Thomas More, St. John Fisher. Check out, by the way, the Poem of the Week podcast where I read Shakespeare's Sonnet 23, which has a line with a punning allusion and reference and tribute to St. Thomas More embedded within it, cryptically. Now, speaking of cryptically, well, the whole of this play is cryptic in the sense of it's a mystery that's in need of solving. So we'll continue. We looked at the background of the play, its context, we looked at the person who's handwriting is the bulk of the transcription, and asking whether St. Anthony Munday, whose handwriting that is, can really feasibly be seen as the author of the play, considering who he was, how anti-Catholic he was, etc. So if we come to the conclusion that we can't really believe that this play, which is very positively disposed towards the holy martyr, St. Thomas More, if we don't believe it could have been written by St. Anthony Munday, then the question is, who did actually write it? So, let's look at the evidence. I'm just going to read a paragraph from the introduction. Remember, I've read parts of the introduction that I wrote to the first Spanish edition of the play, where I express what I want to say better there. I'm just reading from it. It's a paragraph from this. Since Chettle, Decker and Heywood, they're the other playwrights, along with Anthony Munday and Shakespeare, since Chettle, Decker and Heywood were all, to one degree or another, antagonistic towards Catholicism, the possibility of Shakespeare's authorship of the play comes to the fore. The literary historian and critic Thomas Merriam has made a meticulously researched case for Shakespeare's authorship, employing stylometry to show that Sir Thomas More has more stylistic qualities in common with Shakespeare's plays than with the works of Munday. This being so, let's turn our attention to Shakespeare and Shakespeare's authorship of the play, which, like Thomas Merriam, I also happen to believe to be the case. So, again, we need to remember, just to recap, that this play is probably being put before the censor, Sir Edmund Tilney, during that brief honeymoon period, when it must have seemed that the Catholic Church was going to make a dramatic comeback. And those anti-Catholics are now much more favourably disposed towards being seen as being more positive, hedging their bets perhaps. And then one or two of the other playwrights, not as antagonistic towards the faith as Anthony Munday, might have come out of the closet, so to speak. There may have been conformists during the time that the church was illegal, but now are expressing their secret sympathies. So as for Shakespeare's authorship, let's look at a few things. There's the anonymous hand. So there's the various playwrights that we've listed, and then there's also a hand that doesn't have a name appended to it. There's the handwriting of Shakespeare himself, but there's another extract which is most critics take to be evidence of Shakespeare, and the reason being that there's this pun on the name of St. Thomas More that in Shakespeare's Sonnet 23 is a similar type pun. So let's look at Sonnet 23 first. There's a line in it. So the earlier in the sonnet, there's a reference, an oblique reference to the Mass as the perfect ceremony of love's rite. And the poet's regret that he doesn't go to Mass as often as he would like because of fear of basically spies. But then he says here, "Oh, let my books be then the eloquence and dumb presagers of my speaking breast, who plead for love and look for recompense, more than that love which More hath More expressed." Okay, so that line, "more than that love which More hath More expressed." It's a weird line, when the second and third mores have lowercase m's. But if either of those is capitalized, we get more than that love, which more, Thomas More, hath more expressed, or more than that love, which more hath Thomas More expressed. So this pun, punning reference to Thomas More in the sonnet, which we certainly know was written by Shakespeare. And now look at the passage of the anonymous hand. And here we have these lines. And this actually, More here is capitalized because he's talking about Sir Thomas More. But more, the more thou hast either of honour, office, wealth, and calling, which might excite thee to embrace and hug them, the more do thou in serpent's natures think them. Okay, so more, the more thou hast. Very similar to the sonnet. Also, you know, one of the arguments against it being written by Shakespeare is the fact that it's argued that it's not of sufficient quality to be a Shakespeare play. Well, the fact is that early Shakespeare plays, such as Henry VI, are certainly not masterpieces. You know, all poets, all playwrights have to learn their craft, learn their art. They do it as they go. So obviously the very early Shakespeare plays are not as polished, not as mature, not as brilliant as the later plays. So my contention would be that this is a very early play, Sir Thomas More. In fact, my contention would be that this was probably written before Shakespeare had any name as a playwright in London. We don't know, but it's conjectured that the lost years, when we don't know where Shakespeare was from the time he leaves Stratford-upon-Avon to the time he emerges in London, we don't really know where he is. This is called the lost years. There's circumstantial evidence that he was an actor that's referenced staying at Houghton Hall in Lancashire. And I think it likely that Shakespeare learned his trade initially by writing plays to be performed at reticent households. In other words, the households of the Catholic nobility who were living a double life, if you like. They were reticents, refusing to attend Anglican services, paying the fines secretly, often keeping priests in their employment as private chaplains, although outwardly they would be gardeners or teachers or some other ostensible job. So we know that Shakespeare's plays, right through even when he was famous, were being performed privately at these reticent homes. So I think that this was probably written for performance for Catholic audiences in these reticent homes. There was never any prospect of it ever being performed publicly during the reign of Queen Elizabeth I. But as I've said, during the honeymoon period following the death of Elizabeth and the accession to the throne of King James and his initial keeping of his promise to lift the to basically give religious liberty to Catholics, it was then that Shakespeare thought he would try to get this past the censors. And because he was known as a Catholic, he elicited his friends, amongst other playwrights, to front it for him, especially the one who was least Catholic in the eyes of the state and therefore in the eyes of the state censor. So that's what I think. This is an early play, which would certainly explain the fact that it's not of the highest quality by Shakespeare's standards, as nor were, say, the early plays such as Henry VI. And I think the collaboration with other playwrights would improve its chances of getting past the censors. In other words, this is something which many of the best playwrights in Jacobean England at the beginning of the reign of King James were working on. So, again, let me read from my introduction here as the conclusion to our discussion on the play, and then maybe I'll quickly do a reprise. So, the final paragraph of my introduction. Shakespeare must have had high hopes that the new regime would look kindly on his play. His hopes would be dashed on the rocks as a new wave of brutal persecution hit England's already battered Catholics. Shakespeare would vent his spleen against the new king in the allegorical subplot to Macbeth, and less obviously but as potently in the other dark plays such as King Lear and Othello, which reflected the return of darkness to England after the false dawn of Elizabeth's death. It would be a further 400 years during the reign of another Elizabeth, Elizabeth II, before Sir Thomas would finally be performed. Sir Thomas More would finally be performed when the Royal Shakespeare Company staged the play at the New Globe Theatre in the summer of 2004. Shakespeare and Thomas More were at last united in art as they had always been in creed. The bard, who in Ben Jonson's memorable tribute was not of an age but for all time, had finally been allowed to pay homage to the saint who, in the title of Robert Bolt's memorable play, was a man for all seasons. So there we have it, the conclusion, the evidence that this mysterious play and the mystery surround it. I think the most likely solution to that mystery is that the play of Thomas More was a play authored by none other than William Shakespeare. I have no idea what we'll be talking about next week in the Home is Where the Hearth is podcast. That is also a mystery, a mystery to which I, at least at the moment, do not have the answer. But please do join me next week for the next Home is Where the Hearth is podcast, when we'll be discussing this, that, the other, whatever I feel might be of interest both to me and to you. And until then, thanks as always for being a member of the Inner Sanctum and for supporting me, my work and my family. Until next week, goodbye and God.